We got any kids that are kindergarten or younger? You can go back to the back for, I don't know what you exactly call it now, children's church. Not sure, but if any kids are kindergarten or younger and want to go back, if you don't, you can stay out here. Mom's going back. Okay, good. All right. Mr. Randy, teacher, good, okay. Turn to Psalms 107. We're going to start with this verse. He loved you forever. We are in a very chaotic world right now, as we know. A lot of division, a lot of hate. We really have a civil war in our nation happening, is what's really happening. Nobody wants to call it that, but that's what's happening. And people are mad because of how someone votes. They're mad because of the color of their skin. They're mad because of their religion. They're mad about everything. And the one thing that cures all of that is love. I don't know why we, as followers of Christ, who say that we're believers in Jesus, have a hard time loving one another. That should be so instinctive to us as Christians, that we love someone. Regardless of what they've done to us, how they look, if they don't act like us, whatever it is. And I know that we are in a very judgmental world, and I know that we immediately, you know, the old saying, if it looks like a duck, acts like a duck, sounds like a duck, what is it? It's a duck. So we judge people that way. You see somebody walking down the street looking like me, not say I look all that good, I'm just saying, that looks like me, they're like, how you doing? You must be somebody. You meet somebody walking down the street with, you know, that looks a lot rougher, not dressed nice, and their hair ain't together, and they look like they just come out of a garbage can, they don't get the same response. We do that as people. But did you know what? You know who Jesus died for? The one that come out of the dumpster. He died for the ones that look good like me, and he died for the ones that look bad like y'all. He died for all of us. And I'm just thankful for that. That the love of Jesus will cure the ills of the world. We got to be careful as Christians that we aren't throwing stones at everybody. I love the story of when the woman got caught in adultery, and don't raise your hand, got caught in adultery, and everybody's around them saying, Master, the law says, aren't you glad the law, aren't you glad the law's been fulfilled through grace? Hallelujah. The law says that she is to be stoned to death. We're not talking about getting high. We're talking, I got to clarify that in this generation. I'm talking about taking actual stones, rocks, and throwing them and beating her to death. That's what the law says. And they said, Master, what do you say we do? And he bent down, he wrote something in the ground. Nobody really knows what he wrote. That's not in the Bible. We can all have our own interpretation of what he wrote. But he wrote something. He got up, and he said such a profound thing. Oh, my gosh. He says, you without sin, throw the first rock. Boy, that would make you gulp, won't it? Oh, my gosh. He was, you know what he was doing? He was checking their self-righteousness. And they all dropped the rocks and walked away. And Jesus says, where are your accusers? I have none. I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. He released her. What he was doing, he was applying grace to where the law should have been. How many times do we say, we're saved by grace, hallelujah, saved by grace, but we treat everybody by the law? That's right. What if we treated people with grace, with the same grace we've received? Right. But we don't do that. We put them in a box and we pin, I said this last week, and if you get to do this, I mean, we all have our thing. But, you know, I see people on Facebook and they'll post stuff like, they ought to hang him 10 times for what he did. They ought to give him the grill and send him to the depths of hell. He deserved to be in the worst part of hell. Isn't that all of us? Because all of us were born with a sin nature. We hear it all the time, right? You don't know how to teach your kids how to lie. You don't know how to teach them how to steal or say bad words. They come pretty automatic. I've never been around someone that was putting an L in and hit their finger and say, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. You don't hear that come out. You hear the... Sorry, preacher. Because that's what comes out. When someone tailgates you on the interstate, what do? Right? We get in the brake bump. Get off me. Get off my back. Somebody flies around, we're laying on a horn. That one dad did 3 times. Remember, man, I was so mad. I kept on going. He made me so mad. That's why we don't do bumper stickers at Living Word. I told you that. Including me. When I'm driving a church van, I try to be really careful. I go to the speed limit, and I try not to do anything stupid. I drove it this morning, so I'm really conscious of that church van. It's a big billboard, so I'm driving it, you know. I'm not smoking or anything. You know, I'm really being careful, okay, because it's the light of the church. And just to clarify, I don't smoke. Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I looked up mercy. Mercy has more than one meaning. Mercy also translates into loving kindness and benevolence. What does benevolence mean? And what else does it mean? Benevolence. If someone's being benevolent, they're being what? Loving, giving. It's a love offering, right? It's a benevolence offering. Love. His love endures forever. I love the part of that song, he stands age to age. He stands generation to generation. I say it all the time, the same Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, that drew me and saved me and filled me is the same one that drew my children. It's the same one that drew your children. There's not a different Holy Spirit, not a different God, not a different thing. He is the same God. He still draws with his power, with his mercy, and with his love. And he still fills his people where we can feel his presence on our flesh. And I love that. In a corrupt, dark world, we can still feel the presence of God. But here's what happens. We build these walls because we don't want to feel. We let walls of doubt, fear, past hurts keep us from letting in what God wants to usher in. And we've got to understand God loves you. People may have cast you away. They may have rejected you. It's okay. Christ won't. His mercy endureth forever. Go to the next verse. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God is love. The Bible says that. So God has to love because he is love. And I know we're in a world where people, you know, where Melanie works at, she hears stories, and I'm up there, I talk to folks, I hear stories, and I know it's easy to judge people for where they're at in life because of making poor choices, but many people make those poor choices because of poor circumstances, and they don't feel like they're loved or accepted, and so they turn to this, they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to sex, they turn to things to try to think, if I could just feel loved. You know, we see these young girls now giving their bodies away at 14, 15, 16, just freely giving it away because, well, they'll accept me if I sleep with this boy, he'll like me if I give him what he wants. No, that boy will get what he wants and leave you hanging and leave you hurt. He don't care about but one thing. That's all he cares about. And so when we understand that it's God that completes us, that a boy or a girl is not going to fix our brokenness. God is what fixes our brokenness. And that we can have complete peace in him regardless of what's happening around us if our faith's in him. So I understand that people are searching for love. They want to be accepted. They want to be accepted for who they are. And that's why on our van, Bob put on that van. And where's Pat? I hadn't seen her. Hey, Pat, didn't know you were here. Love you. Thank you for coming. She drove 2.5 hours or so to get here. That's awesome. On that van, it has on there a place where everyone is accepted. And we mean that. A lot of churches say that. They don't mean that. They say it to get you in the door. Then they say, okay, David, brother, I can't use your usher, man. You got them tats showing. And even though them guns are pretty blazing, the tats, we don't do that, you know. So if you could wear a long sleeve to come to church, then we'll accept you, you know. Or a young girl comes with purple hair. Hey, we love you, darling, but, you know, I know you like your purple hair, but can you put a hat on Sundays or something? That's not accepting like they are. How many times do churches do that and they don't understand they're letting legalism, they're letting standards get in the way of the grace of Jesus? I'm going to tell you something, and some of you may not like it, is God don't care about what color your hair is. He took mine away. He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. I'm just saying. He don't care what color your hair is. Do you think God looks at David any differently because he's got tattoos on his arms? Does God love David any less because of that? If God loves David less than that, then God is not truly love, because love is not conditional. Love is unconditional, completely. True love is unconditional. God's true love. He says he loved us with everlasting love and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This is the part I want to talk about for a minute this morning. How many times, and if this is your thing, that's fine. I tell people they think that I'm a heathen because I don't. I'm telling you, I know some of y'all are different. Everybody is different. I've got to follow the vision God gave me. I'm the pastor. I've got to follow what God gives me. I know some folks love that hell and fire and brimstone preaching. I've never done that, never been that, because I've read too much of what God's word says. He draws us with his love, not with his fear. He draws us. Once we figure out how much Jesus loves us, why do I do things for Melanie? Not because I'm afraid of her. There's moments I can be. But I do things for my wife because I love her. Michael, you do things for Tammy and Maddie because you love them, not because you're afraid, well, if I don't do it, she's going to fuss or she's going to... No, you're at the store, you're somewhere, you think about an idea. I'm going to take this home with Tammy because I thought about her. I love her. She's not even thinking about it. Don't even, hadn't even asked me about it. I'm just going to do it for her. And when you do that, Tammy gives you some sugar, and you're like, boy, yeah, love draws. This is a key verse. His love's what draws mankind. Well, we know that God's going to love you as you are, as you come to him, no matter how you look or what you've done. It doesn't matter whether you're a prostitute, whether you're a drug addict, whether you're an alcoholic, whatever you have done, whether you're a felon, you've served your whole life in prison. When you come to Jesus and say, Lord, will you accept me? Will you love me? Could you possibly love me? Mom, don't talk to me. Dad, kick me out. My brothers and sisters have nothing to do with me. Nobody wants me. God, will you want me? Come as you are, and I will give you rest. Come right now and watch what I will do. I will love you. The love of God is constant. It's steadfast, and it's not moved by the tide. It doesn't change by the seasons. It doesn't change based on how you're living up or down. Because I don't know about y'all. I've got good days where I feel pretty Holy Ghost filled, and I got days I wonder, God, you there? I think we all have those days. There's days I feel I did pretty good today. I prayed, read my Bible. I gave out some cards. I witnessed. And then there's days I'm like, man, I'm a heathen today. But thank God he loves me day to day and season to season. It doesn't change. He draws people with his love. And if we will start talking about the love of God and what he did for us, and we're going to read some scripture to show you what Christ did for you, because until we understand how much he loves us, we can't respond to it. We just can't respond to it. If we thank God, I mean, here's the problem that a lot of the millennials and the younger generation of them is having right now. They are seeing laws and things forced on their lives of control. Instead of, and yes, you've got to raise your kids with standards. We did too. We taught our kids, hey, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, all the stuff parents are supposed to do. All right, don't mean to always listen, but you teach them those things. It doesn't mean that, but it does mean this. It means that we have to let them know, no matter what they do, how far they go, they can't outrun the hand of God. And they can't, and I love saying this, and I get about half amens on this because I think you have to process it. You think about the depth of this. You can't out sin the love that God has for you. You can't out sin it, not the love God has for you. I know that I fail God, but when he called my name in 1980, he knew I'd fail. I went to that altar as a little boy, 9 years old, crying like a baby, Holy Spirit all over me. I got baptized that same week, filled with the Holy Ghost that same week. And I was on fire. People at school, I told her I got saved. I was a little boy. And I was so proud of Tay. Where's Tay at? He's there. Hey, Tay told me yesterday, he says, Pastor James, I gave out 2 year cards to my friends, invited them to church. Here's a little boy passing out cards to the church. Isn't that awesome? I think that's great. Awesome, Tay. Tay is reaching out. You know what he's saying? We'll love you at our church. Come to our church. We'll love on you. And that's what Christ does. He loves on us no matter where we go or what we do. So we got to be careful about telling people, well, yeah, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. If I got to do anything, guess what? I'm saved by me, not by him. Because I believe in the finished work of the cross. That's why Jesus says, it is finished. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and I had nothing to do with that. He opened the Holy of Holies without my help or without my assistance. And he says, now access to the throne is made available to you. And that's what I have, and I am grateful I have that because Jesus loved me that much. Next verse, he draws with love, not with fear. John 3:16, and Joe Brown's not here this morning, is he? I hate that. This is his verse. For God, and I know we learned this as a little kid, but think about the power of this verse. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? Us. The world's the good ones, right? And the world's the bad ones. The world's the little leave it to beavers like me, like Melly calls me. And the world's Chris Nitsu and Don Childers and all them tough Marines that let you know they were a Marine. It's for all of us, the world. Every nation, every race, every tongue, every creed, every language, every religion, it's for everyone. God so loved the world, his creation, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life. I've got life because of Jesus. I know a lot of folks don't believe this. They think when you die, you die. Now, I want you to think about this. What's the point of living 60, 80 years and that being it? Just being gone? I'm going to tell you, most of our 60 or 80 years, as the old song says, I've seen troubles, I've seen sorrows. You know, you see the tin can on the jail cell, right? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I mean, man, you would pour a cup in the blues bar full of tears. Our lives are like that sometimes. Because there's challenges. You're married, you got kids, you got jobs. Things in life happen. You got sickness and disease and tragedy, pain. You got things that hit your life. But I'm thankful I have the promise that I have everlasting life promised to me. That the grave's not it. This world's not it. There is more, so much more beyond this realm that God has promised me because of what Jesus has done. In verse 17 says this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus, here's the deal. If Jesus was returning today, this song would not be playing. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do when he comes for you? Bad boys, bad boy. No. But we make Jesus out to be like that. It's plainly says he didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came, to save us, not to condemn us. He didn't come. He came that we could be rescued from our sin. Now, I know some people, especially the younger generation coming along, doesn't understand why we need Jesus. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, in a verse. Why we need Jesus. What's the point of Jesus? Why can't everybody go to heaven and it just be done? What's the point to it? We'll read that in a minute. Next verse. 1 John 4:9. It was manifest that the love of God toward us, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, that because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is how Jesus loved us. His love letter was the cross. His love letter was Christ crucified for our sins. His love letter was saying, dear Linda, I love you so much. I'm paying a price you couldn't pay, that you could be with me forever. It's kind of like if you're in court. Once again, don't raise your hand. You've been in court in trouble. I've been with some of y'all. You've been in court in trouble. And you go before the judge, and you are guilty. Michael Lackey, do you plead innocent or guilty? I plead guilty, Your Honor. Guilty to what? B&E. That's breaking and entering for you that don't know that. I plead guilty to B&E, aggravated assault, and larceny. Yes, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I plead guilty. He says, well, your sentence for that, based on your record, Mr. Lackey, is 5 to 7. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say it's dismissed, and you're free to go. What? Why? I'm forgiving you of your debt that you owe. I'm canceling out the ordinance that was set against you, and I'm nailing that to the cross. So you're free. Even though Michael was guilty, and though he deserves 5 to 7, we deserve eternity away from God. But he stepped in and says, I'll pay that debt. I'll take care of it. And he did. If we could get the revelation that we have been set, that's why Jesus says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Who the Son set free. We're still living bound. You know, we're still living bound. I still find myself sometimes cringing around religious people. If I got a certain thing on, I'm thinking, are they going to judge me because I got this? Am I wearing this? You know, they go, I'm a preacher. I told you years ago, a guy said, I had a Firebird years ago, and I wasn't pastor when I was preaching. That ain't a preacher car. Well, what is a preacher car? A four-door Buick that all you old folks drive? Look, I'm 20-something years old. What's a preacher car? That's what he told me. I ain't a preacher, Carr. I mean, just that judgment. Look, I know I got 10 in windows and they're dark. I'm keeping the darkness out. The light's inside. See, it's very preachery. I got the mag wheel shining, yeah, and they had 3-point spinners. Three, right? Father, Son, Holy. I'm just saying. And they were shiny, right? The light of Christ. Really? And the spoiler across the back? How spoiled the devil's play? I'm just saying. That's good. I just made that up. Who said? Who said? What kind of car I got to drive? What preacher says what you got to wear? What preacher says what music you got to listen to? My God, let Jesus have their life. Let him and he will draw them, and the Holy Spirit will lead you, convict you, and guide you. Period. No preacher, if you are a saint, a follower of Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit. No preacher has to tell you how to live, what to do. Holy Spirit tells you that. You know how many folks call me up? Hey, Pastor, look, I just want to ask you. I know I drink some. Is that wrong? You're calling me, ain't you? I'm just saying, why are you calling me? That's up to you. That's your deal. I ain't going to be drinking with you, but if you want to drink, cheers. But I'm just saying, you calling me. You're calling me for a reason. That's all I'm saying. Next verse. 1 John, same chapter, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now, church, I want to make sure to be clear on this. I'm not a 1968 flower hippie child. I'm not talking about that kind of love where we have no responsibility and we're a vagabond going from place to place, hitching rides to California. I'm talking about, we must have a lot of hippies in here, got quiet. I'm just saying. Yeah, I know, baby boomers, I know. I know. Mom's back there going, peace, man. No, she's not. I'm talking about a kind of love that stands for truth, but that accepts people and loves people like they are. It doesn't matter what they are. That's not my job. My job is to love them, and when they talk to me, be honest with them, share what the Word of God says, but to love them. And that's what we do. And that's what we do here. And now y'all do a great job of that Living Word. You always have, and I appreciate that. God is love. That's okay. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God's in him. Look, we can preach all day long to people. I was at McDonald's one morning and ran into some people, and they were talking about another church people. They were talking about tattoos. Said, you preach against tattoos? I said, no. They kind of got real quiet, and I'm like, I mean, that don't change how God loves them. I mean, you know, sometimes we can get so much, and I don't want any of my kids to have them, because most time, as most of you know, a lot of you regret those later in life. Not always, but sometimes. And so I've taught my kids, look, don't mark your body up until you're really old enough to know what you're doing, okay? But they got real quiet, and I'm like, look, God doesn't love someone less because they do that. I would much rather someone get a tattoo than someone tear someone down. I would much rather someone mark themselves on the arm than go spread a bunch of gossip and poison around and try and divide people. But see, we categorize sin. We got the big ones, right? We got the big sins. Adultery, big. Murder, big. Rape, big. We got the big sins. You know, abortion, the church talks about. Homosexuality, the church talks about. We got these big sins we categorize. But Jesus died to take the sin that separate us from God out of the way. See, sins are not the individual. This is what's been mistaught, I think. Sin, the kind of sin Jesus removed, is not the individual failures we commit. Sin is the nature that stood in the way of us getting to Jesus. And he tore down that wall because he told Nicodemus, said, what must I do, Lord? He said, you must be born again. And a lot of folks this generation don't even know what that means. We grew up with it. Baby boomers, my generation, we grew up, we know born again. I'm a born again Christian, born again. What does born again mean? It means we're born into sin, and now we've been born into righteousness. Still a very valid saying, being born again. Nothing wrong with that. Don't be ashamed of that. I'm a born again Christian. I was born in sin. I've been born again in righteousness. And I'm thankful for that. But we have these big sins and don't realize that we don't love people based on how they're acting. I have seen people treat others differently because they found out, you know, they pierced a lip. And I don't like all that either. I think it just, whatever, that's your thing. But I don't think a pincushion is all that attractive. But anyway, do what you want to do. But we treat people differently. We were at Subway, I mean, actually ordering something. And bless his heart, this guy, I mean, he had piercings. I don't know. I was like, who thought of that? Okay. But anyway, that's this thing. But we judge people based on something that like that. And they can love Jesus more than the guy in a three-piece suit. You don't know. Because God touches this. Touches the heart. That's what love does. Next verse. We love him. I love this. Because he first loved me. What I was going to say a while ago, let me get back to it. Sometimes I get off script a little bit. Me and Barbara talking about this, Barbara Childers, the other day. She asked if I ever follow notes. I guess she's saying you need to. I don't know. I said, no, I don't. I said, I just kind of preached to God, get it to me. I said, that's why I get in left field and have to bring it back. But what I was going to say a while ago is this. When God called me in 1980, saved me, filled me with the Spirit, I got baptized that same week. I knew, and even though I was only nine, I know what you're thinking. Man, you're nine. You know? This is what I'm saying. This is where it don't go back to the individual failure. It goes back to the sin nature. Because you're right, 9 years old, and I ain't smoking weed. I ain't drinking. I'm 9 years old. You know, I ain't out doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. I'm 9 years old. But even at nine, being the Leave It to Beavers, Melanie calls it, and I was a good nine-year-old boy for the most part. I still sat with my mom, rolled my eyes, and ran from my dad. But other than that, I was a pretty good boy. But even at nine, my spirit, when I got saved that week, felt changed. I felt different inside because Jesus came to live inside of me. Now, when he called me at 9 years old, did I always do what was right? Oh, no, puberty hit. You do a lot of stupid stuff when puberty hits, especially as a guy. A lot of stuff you're ashamed of, a lot of stuff that you blame on the hormones, you know. So, of course, I sinned after God called me. But he loved me first. He didn't call me at 9 years old in that tent revival and say this to me, James, I'm saving you by my Holy Spirit. From this day forward, you must thus walk with thus righteousness. And you must thus walk with never sinning or failing again. You must thus never look at a woman the wrong way or touch a woman the wrong way or say a wrong word or think a wrong thought or ever touch anything unclean. You must never, ever, ever do that. Otherwise, the deal's off. You want to get saved? Who would? He called me knowing, he loved me first, knowing that I would still fail, but he saved me in spite of myself. The blood was spilled while I was ugly, while I was dirty, while I was filthy. The blood of Jesus was spilled generations before I was born. The death of Christ happened and the resurrection happened. He said, it is finished for James Lewis. It's finished for Gail Patterson. It's finished for Bill Fuller. And then I haven't been born yet. The generations of the family haven't been born. But when they come along, the blood is in place for them. The mercy's in place for them. Hallelujah. It's there waiting because he loved us first. And that's why we love him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, he hath quickened us, made us alive, what that means, together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, by grace are you saved. How many times do we think someone's not saved because how they look, what they're wearing? We don't know. Would any of you want a camera following you 24 hours a day? No way. If I said, we're doing a segment on how do you know you're saved, and I'm going to follow you around for a few days, and we'll see how you stay saved. Roll. Oh, my gosh. Because we all mess up. We cannot, I want to tell you, I don't care what we say, the battlefield is the mind for sure, and we know that. But we cannot control everything that comes to our mind. Now, we can control how we process that as we let the Holy Spirit lead us. Because you may have the thought of the mind, I'm going to go knock their head off, and you got to step back. Okay. Home. Debbie. Let me get my thoughts together here. But you can't help think it. You know? You can't help think it. I know when I walked in today, y'all couldn't help but think, man, he's lost weight. He looks good. Y'all couldn't help think that. I know that. It came right to you. Even though it was, you know, right or wrong, that's what came to you. That's okay. We're saved by grace. Look at the next verse. For by grace are you saved through your works and all the good stuff you do. Through faith. That's how we save, through faith. Oh my gosh. I was talking to someone this week about something happened to their church and what the preacher did. And I'm sitting there thinking, it ain't no wonder nobody wants to go to church no more. I'm like, they said what? In front of the whole church? What? I mean, we got to use some sense, church. You know, I know Bill's talking. I haven't been in here, but I've been seeing the board, and Mel's been filling me in a little bit. He's been talking about this. It's Psalm 23, the shepherd, and about sheep and the shepherd. You know what a shepherd's job is? It sure ain't to beat the sheep. If you see a shepherd out in the field somewhere in Ireland, and they're doing this, they're in the wrong job. They off their meds or something, but they are not need to be doing that. A shepherd protects the sheep. It leads the sheep. And what I mean by lead, leading's not like, you better do this or the gates of hell are going to come on you. Fire and brimstone. Man, that's not leading. That's controlling. There's a big difference. Leading is teaching people and showing people the way that's right to go, regardless of how you personally feel. It's like the old saying, you love, supposed to love everybody, don't like everybody, right? Just because you don't like, you like that. Just because you don't like somebody, don't mean you don't still lead them the right way. Shepherds lead, shepherds protect. Shepherds fight for their flock. And shepherds want to make sure no harm comes to the sheep. And they want to take care of them, they feed them, they water them, they pet them and rub them and love them all over George. You know, they do all that stuff. Because they're shepherds. They don't beat their sheep. So we're saved by grace, not by denomination. We're not saved by our works. We are not saved by baptism. We are saved by faith in Christ. We can do all the works we want, but if our faith is not placed in Jesus Christ, we are still missing the mark. Sacraments are good to some degree, but not apart from faith in Christ. This, look at this. This grace is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God has given you a gift. You deserve death, but I gave you life. You deserve separation, but I gave you togetherness. You deserve darkness, I gave you light. It's a gift God gave us, not of ourselves. We have nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is because Christ died and paid the price for it. That's what sets people free, church. We stay bound because of doctrines that man has made up. There are so many things I've heard in churches that are absolutely not in my Holy Bible. They must have their own version. It's not in this one. I mean, it's not in this one. Next verse. Go to Corinthians one first. I'll close with that one, Brandon. This is what I want to read so everybody understands about sin, especially our young people. They might understand, okay, I heard about Jesus on the cross. I heard he died. But why? Why do we have this story of Jesus dying on the cross for my sins? I mean, what's that all about? Look at what 1 Corinthians 15:21-22 say. For since by man, talking about Adam, first creation, Adam, for since by man came death, by man, talking about Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. Next verse. For as in Adam all die. That's why we have that sin nature. That's why you're fussing at, you know, Maverick and Huddy out in the foyer, you know, telling him be quiet and stop running, and listen to me, and don't roll your eyes, don't talk back. You're telling that because he's got the sin of Adam. He's born with that. For anyone to understand that, if you ever had kids, you know this. They call it the terrible twos, the turbulent threes, the fierce fours, the whatever you want to call it, the feisty fives. It don't get no better. If you got little kids, don't get no better. I'm sorry. Just don't. You had them, sorry. It just don't get no better until they're out of the house. That's when it gets good.
as in Adam, all die. So we had that sin nature because of Adam in the beginning, fail, and then that curse, and that's what it was. It was a curse that was passed on. So that curse was passed on. But in Christ shall all be made alive. So the death and resurrection of Jesus canceled out the sin debt of Adam. That's why we need a Savior. Because, as you know, some of you have really changed since you found Jesus. You know, some of you have really changed. Some of you may not have changed as much. I got saved young, and I stayed on a pretty good course. I wasn't quite as squeaky clean as Bill was through my teenage years. He was squeaky clean. I wasn't squeaky clean. I was fuzzy clean. But God kept me. But some of you have really changed. And some of you can stand up this morning and would testify, man, before I gave my heart to Jesus, I was a bad man. I was a bad woman. You know? I was out there. And then God stepped in and changed my heart. I've heard stories where folks, their lives, when they found Jesus, completely turned around. So the sin nature can only be absolved with God's nature. So that I want to read that verse this morning because that's why that lets us know how much God loves us, that we were born with the sin nature, but he paid that price for us that we could be with him forever. And I know we still fight that. Paul said that. And look, don't get mistaken by this either. We get saved, all of a sudden, let's have it all together. How many times have you heard this? I thought you were saved. Mm-hmm. Acting like that. Remember being at Walmart years ago. We're up there at the front. Yeah, we stand up there as manager sometimes, you know, watch the front end. And we was up there, me, Charles, some guys, and we're up there, the three or four of us, and somebody walked by, and this woman walked by, and one of the men looked at me and says, oh, yeah, James. Yeah, you were looking at that, wasn't you? I saw you looking at that. And I remember, it made me so mad because they were always omens that you as a preacher. So they always just did stuff like that. And you know what I said? I said, God gave me eyes, didn't he? Huh? Yeah, what you going to say now? I ain't playing your game, putting me in some cage like I'm some kind of immortal superhero with a big JC on my chest, you know, because I know Jesus and I got it all together and I don't see, you know. I'm not the three monkeys, you know. Really? I got ears. God gave me. I hear stuff. I got eyes. God gave me. His world is beautiful. Thank God for women. They're a great creation for the most part. And I'm thankful for that. We all of y'all are great. All living words are great. But look, God gave it. God created me. I'm not going to let some religious zealot put me in a box because I'm saved and think that I can't ever make a mistake or I'm not normal. It's not like that all of a sudden I get saved and I go into this kind of, you know, trance where, you know, I'm in the world and I'm like, rest of my life living like this. I mean, no, I'm still a human being. And I got feelings and I feel pain and I cry sometimes. All right, next verse. I want to close with this, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation separate us? No. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. It keeps getting better. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What that is telling me is those things I just read don't stop God loving me. None of those things, that verse before, means it doesn't stop the love God has for me. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor anything that could come, anything, nor height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Nothing. So this tells me, God, when mom and dad are mad at me, you're going to still love me. Yep. But they ain't talking to me. I'm grounded. I still love you. And you're still grounded. But I still love you. We're in a very broken generation right now. We have more and more children growing up with fatherless homes or motherless homes. We've got more and more children growing up in homes of drug use, alcohol abuse. We have more and more homes growing up where they're not getting any spiritual teaching.
churches as a whole are declining in American attendance. Generations, you know, I've been looking at for years as a pastor. Where the church will be when all the baby boomers are gone. How will the church look when that landscape changes? This is why it's important, church. And I'm going to tell you what I would, as a pastor, this is, y'all are honoring me today, and I appreciate this. What would honor me and what I would appreciate as a pastor the most is that the people here at Living Word are here at church faithfully on Sundays and Wednesdays when you can be. That would mean more to me than anything else you could ever give me, to be here. If you've ever preached or taught, you know how that is. When the seats are empty, you start feeling kind of lowly. You want to encourage me, show up. You ain't got to tell me I preach good, just show up. For you to be here on a regular basis will do more for me as a pastor than anything you possibly do. Because it shows me you do love me and you care for your church, you care for the family. Because I spend time preparing a word of God, and when people don't come, it hurts my feelings. Because guess what? I'm still in the flesh. And it hurts my feelings. And it gets me sad. And Melanie says, what's wrong? And I'll tell her, well, you got to focus on the ones that were there. And that's true. That's great. I'm glad you were here. Yeah, whatever. But what about what about all the ones that should have been here? I guess I am a half-tea glass empty person versus a half-tea full. I definitely am. Melanie's more the other one. You know, Melanie's the, oh, we had a good crowd. Half full, glass half full. I'm like, man, yeah, but where were so-and-so? We had 15 families out. Yeah, but we had 30 there, but we had 15 out. I mean, we're opposite that way. It's okay. We're in a broken generation that needs love. And we can be that love to someone else. That's what's happening in our society. We have got idiotic, moronic behavior right now in our country. People, and this is not a political stance, it's whoever. But anybody that wants to try to abuse people, riot, break stuff apart, something's wrong. And what we need to do, instead of getting caught up in the heat of all that, because I know it's easy to get caught up in that, is to show the love of Christ to everyone based, regardless of what they are, what they've done. I'm going to tell y'all something. We're even supposed to love the Democrats and the Republicans. We're supposed to love all the people. We're supposed to love the ones that we don't like as good. We're supposed to love the abandoned, the orphans. We're supposed to love the homosexual. We're supposed to love them. It's very important that we walk in love. But for the grace of God, where will we be? Once again, we're trying to point someone out. You know, oh, well, God, you know, they're this, and they do that, and they did. Look, we all do something. All of us do something. Come on up, Marge. You have something ready to play. He loved you forever. And whatever you're battling this morning, if you don't feel loved, there's one that does love you. And that love is for every boy, every child, every adult, every person. Jesus loves you, and you cannot do anything to change that. And that's the beauty of it. You can't do a thing going to change God's love. But as Dee sung that song, sometimes we don't feel like we're loved. We feel weak. We feel inept. But the love God has for you is amazing. I want to open up the altar this morning before we close and go to our lunch this afternoon. And I want you to feel free this morning to obey what the Lord is leading you to do. But the altar is open for those of you this morning that you need to feel loved. You need to feel loved. I want you to come to the altar and just say, God, pour your love on me. I need your love poured upon me. I need to know, God, I'm loved by you. And just receive this love, because God's love for you is unchangeable. It's immovable. It's unerasable. It will go on for all, ever and ever and ever. And the love he has for you is not based on any of your behavior. The love he has for you is because he died for you while you were still in that behavior. Let God move this morning. If you need to feel loved, feel held. You're broken this morning. You're missing something. You just need God's arms wrapped around you to remind you, I am loved by the King of Kings this morning. Just come up here and talk to God for a minute.
as Marjorie sings.
Where would I be?
Feel this is the image God gave me just now, that some of you are like a shattered puzzle. The pieces of your life are completely scattered right now, and you have no idea how to put it back together. If you're that puzzle today, come give it to Him and say, God, put my pieces back together and form my life again in the wholeness of what you have prepared. So God's speaking to somebody about that as well.
Where would I be?
About love, and there are some people in here this morning right now that you are broken in your spirit. You have lost your hope and you've lost your joy, and you need God to put it all back together this morning. Follow that, because God wants to move this morning in your life. He is calling your name by name right now today. Don't put this off. This is your day that God says, come here and let me put you back together. Let me form you again. Let me shape you again in the plans I have for you. Your life is not over, and your season's about to end. I'm taking you from where you've been to where you're going to go. I'm taking you from a place of darkness to a place of light. I'm taking you from a place of defeat to a place of victory. I'm taking you out of the valley, and I'm setting you on the mountain. This is your day, church. Come and get what God has for you. Let Him love you this morning, and leave here filled.
Not for grace. Jesus, lover of my soul.
Sing and worship for a minute. This sanctuary right now, God, I pray for every broken heart to be restored, for every past hurt to be healed, that we leave this sanctuary, this place of worship, God, we leave elevated, encouraged, and lifted out of what we are in. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. We are redeemed. We are healed. We are made whole. We are more than conquerors. We are loved by the King of Kings forevermore. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Y'all reach around and love someone before you sit down. Shake their hand, give them a hug, love someone before you sit down. Let them know they are loved. Ushers, come on up here this morning. You receive our offerings and tithes. Hey, Layton, come on back up here. Oh, goodness. The love of God loved you forever. Father, we ask your blessing on this offering today. Part of our worship, Lord, is giving to you, and we're thankful for it. It's an honor to sow into your kingdom, knowing, God, that you will never forsake us or leave us, knowing you're going to take the seed we sow and you're going to multiply that. You always have. You always will. That's your principle. As we sow our seed of love and obedience to your word today, God, I pray you bless the giver and you use all of this seed, Lord, to continue to bless your kingdom and the eternal work. We give you honor and praise for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.